deal? What's the big deal about joining the church? Amen. What's the big deal? I'm going to tell you the big deal next week. Matter of fact, I think that's all I'll name it. What's the big deal? What's the big deal about church membership? All right. I actually, a lot of times I'm up here talking to y'all and I'm talking to you. The Lord goes and gives me the sermon for the next week and I'm here. So, okay, next week we're going to go such and such. And I walk away and say, okay, God, what we do now? I got a title and no message. And he says, that's your department. I'm going to help guide you, but you got to get the pen. Amen. Don't you love the Lord? God is awesome all the time. God, if you get your Bibles out, turn to Psalm 150. I challenge you today to give it all you got in this service. If you have a cell phone, unless you use it for the Bible, put it up. Please, put it up. Do not be playing games. Do not be texting, playing Facebook and all that. Put it up. It's too serious of a time. We're sitting on the edge of God coming back. We're sitting on the edge of war. We're sitting on the edge of our rights being taken away from us. And it's to be sad to be sitting in church every week and not hear the pastor because we're playing games on the phone or we're Facebooking and all that. Put it up. Please, put it up. That's my challenge. Put it up. Y'all can finally say, put it up. Amen. You say, that's sounding kind of harsh. Well, I've asked you nicely, and I'm going to say it a little harsher. Put it up. Put it up. I was on the plane coming back from San Juan. We had three seats, and we had the little bitty seats. And so I said, Lord, let it be a little bitty person that wants to sleep the whole time. Then I held hands in agreement. Let it be a little bitty person that wants to sleep all the time, because that's how it was on the way there. And just before the plane started filling up as the people started walking down the aisle. And I said, Lord, if you're not going to send a little bitty person that is going to sleep all the time, send the preacher. And sure enough, the guy come in and he sat down and I looked at him and I said, well, let me get out of the way before I knock you down or abuse you. He said, I'm used to it. I said, me too, I'm a pastor. He said, ain't that funny? I am too. And he sits down. And he says, I want to show you something. I said, what? And he started showing me. He was in Pennsylvania. He'd been in San Juan doing some rebuild for the Baptist. And so he said, I've been here a week and I'm going home. He said, look at what I said. I bet y'all had fun building in Puerto Rico. He said, I've been building in Puerto Rico and at my church. I said, well, show me. And so he shows me this wonderful church he built. And he said, the church is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. I was amazed. It was so, look, I mean, it's, the workmanship was awesome. He said, but it's sad. He said, because it's empty. I said, well, just work at it, man. The Lord will pick it back up. He said, after I finish this church, I've decided to quit pastoring. I said, no, come on now. Quit talking like that. He said, I'm just going to go into the chaplain work at the hospital. He said, at least there I've got a captive audience. I said, you're kidding. He says, no. He says, people just stay in town. We even talked about it a little bit. Y'all didn't know this. Y'all guys didn't know this, and y'all were talking this around up here a while ago, but I was going to talk about this too today. As he said, I find it hard to reach people these days because they're so busy doing their thing and they want to be entertained and they don't really want God if it's going to require anything of them. And he said, I can't reach them. He said, I'm tired of trying. He said, so while I was in Puerto Rico, me and God had a talk, and I told God that when I go back, when I finish building that church, I quit. I sat there and almost cried. Because I see the same thing everywhere. It's important that we give it all we've got. If you can't give it all you got, give it as much as you can. Because God's coming back. He said when he comes back, there was going to be a great falling away, and that's here. The word falling away does not mean you're just not here. It means even when you are here, you're not here. It's important. Very important. In Puerto Rico, I was talking with a lady, and we were talking about God, and she says, oh, I love God. I love him. I talk to him all the time. And I said, well, what about Jesus? She says, I ain't got time for Jesus. I said, He's your Savior. She says, I'll do fine with just God right now because I don't have to change. That's the world. It's not just San Juan. That's the world. Give it all you got, church. I'm not trying to sound this in a mad way or a mean way. I'm trying to say this in a pleading way. I'm pleading. Give it what you got because time's drawing short. People don't even want to hear it anymore. It's here in front of us right now. Our vice president was beat up on The View because he said he talked to Jesus every day and Jesus talked back to him. And the ladies on The View said he has to be mentally ill if Jesus is talking back to him. The lady had to make an apology to him, but she didn't do it publicly. She did it personally. And then in a roundabout way, look it up. She kind of apologized to Christians, kind of. Then the rest of them say, well, we're Christians too. But then they said, but does he talk to you every day? Wow. What a day we're living in. It is so important. You're getting meat. You're getting stuff that helps you get through the week. It's important that you don't sit here and not hear it. Listen to it. Apply it. Use it or lose it. Okay? If you don't lose it, the government's going to cause you to lose it. All right? And Satan. So here we go. Now I've just spilt my little 5 cents worth in. Let's talk about praise. Get your Bible out. Isn't it good? That was supposed to be the sandwich. This was supposed to be the two pieces of bread, praise on each side. We did. We had praise on the one side. We got praise here, and we had the meat in the middle. Amen. Isn't that cool? Psalm 150. Stand for the reading of the words. What I have noticed over the years is the people that are carrying the baton and reaching back and giving it to somebody else, these people are all dying out. And there's nobody to give it to. And so there's a lot of batons laying on the ground. And it should be picked up and be running. It's important. In Pitt Detention Center, they used to have one little bitty spot. One little bitty spot for the ladies. And one little bitty spot for the juveniles. Now they have 2 and 3 spots for the juveniles because there's so many. There's 3 different areas for the women now because there's so many women locked up. The world is getting crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I was talking to the juveniles one night, and one of the juveniles would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and then he would cuss. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and cuss. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and cuss. He had me so mad that night, if I could have got him, I'd have took a belt to him. 15 years old, talking to me like I was some kind of something. And then I finally just said, the Bible says don't answer a fool in his folly. And he said, well, you say I'm a fool? I said, no, but you're definitely throwing out folly. I prayed and prayed hard. The next time I come in, I saw him getting ready to do the same thing. And instead of him doing that, I just said, can I ask all y'all guys something? All of them were under 18. I said, can I ask y'all something between 14 and 18. I said, can I ask y'all something? How long has it been since a real man, told you that he believed in you? And all of a sudden, heads started going down. They quit heckling. They put their heads down. And I said, Namish, no question. How long has it been since a real man told you that he loved you? Not some wishy-mushy mess. Loved you enough to come in here and step away from stuff he had in his own home with his wife and with his grandchildren to be here with you, real love. How long has it been since the real man told you he loved you? And his went way down. When I went back to the sales, everybody was weeping, especially that guy that heckled me the time before. He cried and cried and cried and cried. We have to be ready for what's coming. And it's not coming, it's here. It's here. If we don't push back, it's going to grow. We have to keep pushing back. If we keep pushing back, it won't grow. But the least amount we push back, the more is coming. So we've got to stand up and do something. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to do war. Amen? Okay. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Y'all say praise ye the Lord with me. Every time I say praise ye the Lord, y'all say it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him in His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. Father, we thank you, God, that you're working in our midst. God, we thank you, God, that you've got power and anointing. I thank you right now, God, that you've got something special for us this day. Help us, God, Lord, not to let it go by, not just to take it as something just the norm, or just to push it to the side, or to close our ears, or to be distracted. Help us keep our mind in the game, because this is life or death. Somebody can live or die off of this word today. Help us, God, to understand that somebody can live or die today off of this word, or somebody we know could live or die off the word we learned today to tell them. Lord, help us keep our mind in the game and get ready for what you've got for us. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. We'll wait down and shake somebody's hand. If you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. You know, King David, I heard a little boy talking to his mama. He said, King David used to be a hero of mine, but not anymore. Little Brody told his mother after church one Sunday. Why not, son? He said, I learned today that he killed the Jolly Green Giant. Let it sink in. All right, here we go. Made to praise. 8 reasons to praise the Lord. I'm going to go through the first few just so we can have all 8. I'm not going to do like I did last week. I did 4 last week, stayed on it, dwelled on it. I'm not going to dwell on the first 4. I'm just going to throw them out there, and then I'm going to go on the next one. So y'all get ready for a ride. You got your belts tightened? Amen. Here we go. 8 reasons to praise the Lord. Now praise itself. Praise is first, it's an expression. Hallel and Yah. Hallel and Yah, which means to boast, to celebrate, or make big the strong one, the self-existent one. It's more than just an expression. If it's just an expression, you will live a very shallow Christian life. It has to be an attitude. Conditions don't affect my praise, but my praise affects my conditions. And it's definitely contagious. I remember talking to one of the ladies while we were sitting around a table with the power out. We're sitting around a table talking with candles, and there was people from all over the world standing around. And as I was talking, the lady from Chile was starting to cry, and she said, oh no, David, you're making my head swell. Not swell, she's making my head leak, you're making me cry. And the other guy said, the guy from France said, the guy from Italy said, that's because he's a pastor. And I said, it's not because I'm a pastor, it's because the Holy Ghost is here. Amen. The Holy Ghost is working in our midst. Amen. So here it is. Watch this. So number one, it's contagious. Number one, here it is. It's the right thing to do. Let everything that have breath praise you the Lord. And watch this. Here it is. Everything that's all creation that has life, brag on God. Praise is bragging on God. You know what? When you brag on God, it's amazing what happens. David said 7 times a day, I stop and shout praises for the way you keep running things right. Isn't that cool? 7 times a day means that he lives a life in perfect praise. 7 doesn't mean that he goes, okay, that's number 6, number 7, I can quit, time off, punching the clock. No, it means literally his life was a life of praise, perfect praise. Let me ask you a question, and I'm guilty of it too. How often do you praise him? Amen? Do you keep it on the edge of your tongue? Watch this. He deserves it. He desires it. He delights in it. He dwells in it because we call to him. Number one. Number two. I told you I'm going to go fast. Number two. Get ready. Number two. Praise is where God lives. Amen. God is enthroned. Psalm 22:3. God is enthroned upon the praises of Israel. God is moved into a position of honor to be praised and worshiped. He comes to us. He responds. You say, I haven't been able to get a touch of God, in touch with God lately. Try praising him. You say, well, I just can't seem to get anything at all. Praise him. Well, it doesn't seem like he's really showing up. He's showing up. You may not feel it, but he's showing up. He promised if you praise him, he'll be there. Whether you feel it or not, you promise him or you praise him, and he promised he'll be there. Third, praise enables access to God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Psalm 104. We are moved into a position of humility to bring praise and worship to God. Amen. And we're moved like that. Now, he comes to us, and once we go into his gates with praise, we go to him. Isn't that a cool thing to think about? Even though I don't necessarily feel it, I came this morning, my, Look, I got the 58 going on. You know, when I was 28, I didn't have a back. When I was 38, I started noticing my back. When I was 48, it was there. Now that I'm 58, it's saying, huh? Amen. Of course, being hit by that, rammed in the back end by that car, it didn't help matters. But still, you know, yeah, I got to look at this morning. I said, wow, the time changed and my back didn't. Get up and go. Amen. So we come to him. We respond. Well, here it goes. I'm getting close. And finally, watch this. Praise chases away despair. He says, trust me. I got this. So here it is. As for those who grieve over Zion, God has sent me to give them a beautiful crown in exchange for ashes, to anoint them with gladness instead of sorrow, to wrap them in victory, joy, and praise instead of depression and sadness. Here it is. Watch this. Change your focus. If you'll change your focus, you will exchange your outlook. There's a lot of people in this world and a lot of Christians that have stinking thinking. Amen? I'm guilty of my own self. I have times where I have stinking thinking. And when I see that I'm having stinking thinking, you know what I do? I have to stop and sit down for a minute and say, wait a minute, why am I thinking this way? Why am I getting upset over this? Or why am I getting angry over this? When I need to just stop and praise God and just spend some time in His presence and in His Word. Because when you do that, God will change you. He'll change your outlook. He'll change how you see things. So there it is. Praise is the right thing to do. Praise is where God lives. Praise enables access to God. Praise chases away despair. Here we go, number five. I know y'all waiting for number five. Ready? I love this. I really enjoyed this message. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 98:4. Now I want you to think about that for just a minute. Think about it. I'm going back to it. Praise brings deliverance. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas, listen, they were put in the very bottom of the prison. There was usually two or three sections. They were put in the very bottom. They were beat for bringing deliverance to a young lady who was possessed with the devil. They're falsely accused. They actually were doing good work for God. They're put down in stocks. They're put down, gangrene setting in. There's all this stuff around them. And they could complain or whatever, but instead, the Bible says, and at midnight, at the worst possible time, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And that word heard means actually to listen with anticipation. They wanted to see what their God was going to do. You know, there's people around here in this neighborhood that want to see what God's going to do with us and through us. You know, sometimes what you go through every day, you think that, listen, please listen carefully. You may think the devil is tempting you, or the devil's trying to hurt you, or whatever. It could be God testing you. What you going to do? Here's the opportunity. What you going to do? You know, I told you one time before, I get a call from a guy. We had a strong, when I was pastoring in Bath, we had a very strong community. And all the pastors, we were very close friends. We studied together. We had services together. During Desert Storm, we had multiple services together. During Easter, we always had a major, major service with probably 500 to 800 people out at the point. And we would do things. We did the Stations of the Cross. And we'd walk the cross without Bath and stop at a station and work it. So we had a real close relationship. One day I got a call from one of the pastors. He said, I'm sending somebody over to you. And I said, okay, we'll send them. And I thought it was kind of crazy for him to say, I'm sending somebody to you. He said, I'll send them over Sunday. I said, well, send them. Go ahead. I said, but can I ask you, why are you sending some people over here? He said, because they're your kind of people. And I said, excuse me, my kind of people? He says, yeah, the children are dirty. Last time they come in, they got the pews dirty. He said, they run around and act kind of crazy. The mama didn't take care of them. Mama didn't take care of herself. She come in and she looked like she had just been drug up. I said, that's your kind of people. We don't need that kind of people here at our church. I said, well, I tell you what, brother. Every time you see one of my people, send them over this way. I said, because I'd be proud to have them come into the church. They came to the church one Sunday. The next time they came on a Saturday to talk, I kid you not. The kids got so wild, they knocked out the screen door in the parsonage. They ran right through it. The first time they came to church, I actually put them out in the back, and I had somebody strategically there. They're going to blow their nose. And when they blew their nose, I said, just wash their face a little bit. It was pitiful. But a pastor told me that's your kind of people because I know you'll take them. We don't want them. That's the way life is. That was a test. That was a test. What was I going to say? What was I going to do? I said, bring them. Send them on. Keep bringing them. Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. Amen. So watch this now. So here it is. Here's the test now. And at midnight, they've done good. They did everything. They did everything right. They dotted every I. They crossed every T. They did everything right. And now they're stopped. They don't see growth. They don't see anything. All they see is stagnation and death. How many here you think you've crossed every T and dotted every I, and all you see is you've been stopped, and all you see is stagnation and non-growth? Anybody in here? Watch this. Listen carefully. Here's what you could have done. Well, here's what Paul and Silas could have done. Number one, they could have had a little pity party. The thing about a pity party is nobody accepts the invitation. If they do come, they don't bring gifts. Pity party. When somebody has a pity party about things that's going on in their life, there's a breakdown in their psyche. And it's a breakdown because there's sorrow. And they start seeing things through depression, and they start seeing things through I'm not good enough, and they're going to get me, and everybody's out to get me, blah, blah, blah. So you can throw a pity party. When you're stopped, you're stopped. You were making progress. All of a sudden, you stopped, right? Midstream, stopped. Not only are you stopped, now you are held hostage by the situation, captive by the situation. It's stagnant. There's no growth. All you see is death. And here you are. So watch. First, you can pity. You can have that breakdown, that sorrow, and turn inward. Or, watch this. This is some of the things I've seen, and I've done every one of them. I've done every one of these. Just so y'all can say, well, I bet he ain't never done that. I bet I have. I'm David Linton. I'm a human being. I mean, here are human beings. Okay. Number two, you can get pouty. When things like this start happening, you can shut down because now you're going to shut down. I'm guilty sometimes. I really am. All of a sudden, you begin to complain. As you begin to complain, watch this now. When I'm pouty or when I'm having a pity party, it's inside. But now that pity party, once I keep letting it keep rolling, 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 I get pouty. And now I start to tear down not just myself. Now I'm starting to tear down other people because they're hearing me complain. We got on the plane. We were in Georgia trying to get the plane back to North Carolina. And as we're waiting, we were sitting there, and I saw a guy come up, and I heard him say, but you don't understand. I had first-class seats. And the guy said, but you don't understand. Your name's not up here. That's worse than Pitt Detention Center. He said, but I have first-class seats. He said, sir, I understand. I've checked the lock. I've called around. He said, they did find you a seat, but they got you a seat in the regular, where the regular folks were. Will they give you a peanut and a little cup of water while you watch them bringing steak and everything to the other guys up front? They ain't got common courtesy to put a cloth in between. You just watch them. They're waiting. Can I get something else, sir? Can I get something else? They're bringing them hot food, blah, blah. I'm sitting out there getting a peanut and a glass of water. Okay. So he gets over up against the wall. First he had the pity going on. Then he had the pouty going on. Because now he's starting to complain. And he's complaining so loud that everybody's hearing him. I looked over at Linda. I said, I wish he would take that outside. She said, why? I said, because I hear enough of this all the time. I don't need to hear this guy. They tried to tell him. They explained to him. He bought his ticket at the wrong time. It wasn't just their fault. It's his fault, too. They explained. He messed up, too. It weren't just them. He messed up. But he's there complaining. He's fussing. Then he gets on the phone to talk to somebody. He makes sure he hollers it out. He's complaining. So there's the pouty. You break down. You start to affect people around you. Then watch this. If you're not careful, you'll move to pushy. Now if you move to where's that? There you go. If you move to pushy, now you've done more than complain. Now you're aggressively involving other people. Before they just happen to be hearing you complain, now you're aggressively causing people to hear you. This happens all the time. Think about it in your own life when you're going through situations. And so here it is. Here he is. He's pushy. You can be pushy. This guy was pushy. This guy got so pushy that actually I thought he was going to grab the guy over the counter and pop him. Which would have been a good idea because there was guys standing around with guns. You don't go to the airport and pull the man over the counter. That's just not a good deal. If you think you can, you go ahead. I'll take pictures and show your relatives. But they won't be seeing you for quite some time. Okay, so then pushy. You start arguing now. And when you get like this, you don't just argue with what's going on. Now you're arguing with other people because other people are saying, calm down. You're going, I don't want to calm down. On and on. This is how this guy did. And you know what was so wild, though? I said, Lord, bless that man. Lord, bless him. I'm tired of hearing it. It's late. It was the red eye. I was already tired and hearing him. And so we get on the plane. He argues all the way on the plane. He sits about three seats behind me. I can still hear him arguing. Before the plane took off, the stewardess walked up to him and said, sir, we had a cancellation in first class. We're sorry for all this inconvenience. Come on up here, get your bag. We're bringing you up to first class where you thought you were supposed to be to begin with. I said, praise God. And then he said, no, you done messed me up enough. I'll just stay right here. Okay, that showed him, didn't it? If Linda hadn't been with us, I'd say, well, I'll take it. They tried to help the man. He didn't want help. He just wanted to complain. They got him a seat in first class. He wouldn't take it. It blew me away that they actually did something to help him, and all he wouldn't do was to keep on fussing. Oh, I know none of us have ever been there. Have fun out of fussing. Yesterday, I went over to Arby's. I was trying to get supper for everybody, so I went over to Wendy's, and I got a couple of hamburgers. I went all across the street, And I was talking with Linda, and I got hamburgers, and I paid at the drive-thru, and I put it in drive. And I said, well, I almost drove off without my hamburgers. She said, don't do that, honey. I said, well, I won't. So I go over to Arby's, and I pay for those sliders, and I get to the house. And I reach up, and I see Wendy's bags, but I don't see any Arby bags. I said, went to the house. I said, you remember I told you I almost did it at Wendy's? She said, yeah. I said, I did it at Arby's. She said, what? I said, I paid for four sliders and they're still there. She said, what are you going to do? I said, they should have been a little faster. If they were faster, I would have had them right there ready for when I paid them. I wouldn't have had to worry about this. She said, yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to show them. I'm going to go pick them up. I was playing. So when I went there, I said, can I get my sliders? And they said, we ain't even made them yet. So I got my sliders, and I came back. She said, what happened? I said, I showed them. I went back and picked them up. Really? She laughed. See, again, we get pity, we get pitiful, then we get pouty, then we get pushy. But what did Paul and Silas do? They could have done all those. You know what they did? They praised. When you can find a way to praise God in your worst, absolute worst times, you'll have breakthrough. But not only will you have breakthrough, the Bible says the prisoners were listening. They wanted to see how they would respond. There's people on your job waiting to hear how you're going to respond. There's, you know, I've had people all the time, I try to lead them to the Lord or whatever, and they don't want to hear it. And I talk to them about the Lord, and they just don't want to hear it. And I hear them come up to me and go, and I'll have a bad day at a fountain or somewhere, and I'll say something wrong, and I'll come up and say, is that the way a Christian is supposed to sound? You mean you turn down everything else I said, but because I just said something you disagree with, all of a sudden now I'm a bad Christian? People are listening. They want to hear what you're doing. So here we go. Watch. As soon as they praised, the Bible says that God sent an earthquake and opened up all the doors. Amen? So watch this. I love this. Remember I told you, remember that scripture, Psalm 98. Get ready. Here we go. And it came to pass on the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. That word shout is the same exact word for make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The same exact word. When they turned to the city, which was their promise, and faced the walls that were standing between them and God's promise, they made a joyful noise. They didn't just shout. They made a joyful noise. And when they made that joyful noise, God brought down the house. Amen? So that's number five. Y'all looking like you want to be left alone. Okay, here we go. Number 6. What does that say? He's got you 6. He's got you back. You see, God brings protection. Psalm 71, David says, "By thee have I been holding up from the womb ever since I was even created. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Just quickly. Oh, wrong way. Hit the wrong button. Y'all ever do that? I hope they don't ever do that at the Pentagon. Oh, we don't want to go to war. Okay. Oh, hit the wrong button. David said God had protected him from his mother's womb. And he said, because of that, I'm going to continue to praise God because I know he's got my back. When we praise God, watch this, we are protected from dangers you never know about. I used to say, well, you know what? If I'm still praising you, God, and things are still happening to me, how in the world are you protecting me? You realize how worse it could have been if you weren't praising God? You realize how bad it could have been if God hadn't stopped it? You know how many times y'all could have already been dead? How many times you could have been blind? How many times you could have lost limbs? How many times all these things that you had that wound up being a minor accident or even a major accident could have been a whole lot worse if you hadn't been, if God hadn't been taking care of you? God's awesome. Here we go. 7 and 8 are from the same thing. Get ready. Here comes number 7. Praise is an effective weapon against the devil. Two parts. Here's the first part. I love this. Hit the wrong button again. Praise God. Part 1. Did you know that praise irritates the devil? I'm going to show you something. I was sitting there and I was thinking, Lord, that's got to be a two-parter. This can't be one thing. It's got to be two because I just feel the need to put Satan in there and also put God. And here, watch this. When you start praising God, the first thing it does is it reminds him of his past. You know, the Bible says he had his wonderful pipes. He was glorious. He had pipes. He was the praise leader in heaven. He was awesome. That's why there's so much trouble in music today, is because Satan was the one that the creator of music, but he was the orchestrator of music in heaven. God's the creator, but he was the orchestrator of music in heaven. And when he was kicked out of heaven, he lost that position. It reminds him of his present, because when we praise, it invites God's power. He can't stand that. And it reminds him of his future. There's coming a day when we're going to stand in God's presence and praise him 24/7. And he's going to be baking in a lake. Wow. It just reminds him of his past, his future, his present, and his future. Watch this. Satan, if you want to irritate him, you really want to irritate him. You want to get at him, because I know he gets at you. Amen. Here we go. He has hated praise ever since because it's a reminder of what he gave up and can't regain. It's over for Satan. He's going to bake in a lake. No matter how far you've gone today, it's not over for you. God has your back. So, remind us a little. Look, praise shuts Satan down. Okay? But not only does praise shut Satan down, this is part 1. Here's part 2. Come on, baby. Let's go. There we go. But the battle's not. There's a little boy and his dog up under the under the covers. Amen. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Go out to face him tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Matter of fact, let me get this in my Bible because I want to read this. This is so awesome. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 2 Chronicles. If you don't know where 2 Chronicles is, it's after 1 Chronicles. God is so good all the time. 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 20. I just want to read a little bit, and then we're gonna talk about this. Remember, this is number 8, or actually part 2 of number 7, which is number 8. Amen. When we praise God, we invite Him to do the battling for us. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came unto Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. In other words, he got serious because he saw how bad it was. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art thou not God of heaven? Rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people, Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And thou dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if an evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before thy house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affection, then thou wilt hear and help. You notice what he's doing? The first thing he does, he sees this multitude against him. This multitude is way beyond him. It's so far beyond him, there's no way he can fight this battle. No way whatsoever. He cannot fight and or win this battle alone. The first thing he does is he goes to God. He gets serious. How long has it been since you got serious with God? He proclaimed a fast, and all the people sought the Lord. Then he reminded God of his word. When you read God, his word, his promises, what you're doing is that's what God wants. He wants us to remind him of his word. That's what he tells us. Remind him of his promises. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they would come out of the land of Egypt, but thou turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Our possession, our family, our homes, our lands, our jobs. Satan's coming to take it away. If he can get a hold of it, he's going to take it away. O our God, thou wilt not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Least know that we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, and of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, that thou, King Jehoshaphat, say the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. Here it goes. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Some of y'all in here are fighting God's battles versus letting God fight it for you. That's why you find yourself losing. You're trying to fight what God says he was going to fight for you. Why do I want to keep trying to fight something? You know, like yesterday, I was sitting in Lowe's. Well, I'm sitting in Lowe's. It was crazy. I was in Lowe's because I had an exhaust fan go out. So I'm in Lowe's trying to find a replacement exhaust fan. While I'm sitting there, in walks Nick, my stepson. He walks in, and he walks by, and he has to see me out of the corner of his eye. And he goes, whoa! I said, hey. He said, hey. He said, I need you. I said, well, that's cool. I reckon I need you too. I mean, a good time to get mushy right there in Lowe's. I don't know. And I said, well, what do you need? He said, I'm here with somebody. We're trying to wire a barn, and we need some help. And once I got over there and saw what he was doing, he definitely needed some help. Either that or a really good insurance policy. And so I asked him a few questions. And after asking him a few questions, I said, you know what the best thing to do is? He said, what? I said, leave Lowe's right now. Put the stuff down. Leave Lowe's. Send me pictures, and I'll tell you what to do. He said, okay, that sounds good to us. So they put everything down, and they left Lowe's. And I got some pictures in a few minutes. But again, here it is. They couldn't do this battle on their own. It was impossible. It's amazing that I went to Lowe's at the exact same time, had no idea Nick was going to be there, had no idea that he was going to be doing electrical, had no idea what was going on with him. I was trying to get an exhaust fan in my bathroom. And so, and he happens to walk through. Actually, he walked through going to the bathroom. He said, I was on the way to the bathroom and I saw you. And so again, you see how God does it? He could not do it on his own, so God sent somebody that could. If we'll quit fighting the battle and give it to God, it's amazing what will happen. God will send the right person at the right time to take care of business. Amen? So just like yesterday, I got a call. I get a call, and one of my daughter-in-laws, there they were, they had a flat tire. They couldn't get a hold of their husband. They said, can you please come help? I'm trying to help. And as I'm trying to help, they got old Ricky Dink Jack. The jack was falling over like this. I saw it over to the side a little bit, but I said, it's the only thing I got to use. So I cranked it up. I took the tire off, and I was trying to get the tire down off of the back. It was a Chevrolet, so that right there messed it up. I couldn't get the spare tire down. I'm trying to get it, so I'm up there looking, and all of a sudden one of my friends drives by that doesn't even live. He lived 30 miles away. 30 miles away. He stopped by because his daughter needed him to go check on a house that she was thinking about buying. So he drives 30 miles over to check on his house. And while he's there, he sees me. He pulls up and he says, dude, that jack's getting ready to fall. I didn't know that the thing had even started getting worse. And I was under the van. And so he pulls up, and he had a Chevrolet, so he had sympathy for me. He pulls out his jack, he jacks it up, and then he tells me exactly where I go to let down the spare tire. So we let down the spare, and he helped me fix it. And I told him, I said, you're my angel. He says, do I look like an angel? I said, well, you're an angel with a wide part. His wings were on his side. You'll get it. His wife said, I said, God sent you here today. God sent you. You protected me. You kept me from doing something stupid. And of course, it was really funny because she said, well, we weren't supposed to be here. We just decided to come through to see my daughter wants to check. So we decided to come through at this time. At this time. I'm under the van. God sent us 30 miles, and we come by at this time. Yeah. If it hit my head, I'd have been all right. All right. So again, here's how God does it. I couldn't fight that battle on my own, so God sent somebody to help take care of it. So here it is. Watch this. So tomorrow, go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Judah. And watch this. Here it is. Some of y'all need to hear this. I won't plan on reading all this. Somebody needs to hear this now. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Wait a minute. There's three major nations coming against my little bitty kingdom. Three major nations coming against my little bitty kingdom. And they're trying to tear me apart. And you're telling me I don't need to fight. Watch this. You don't need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord before God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now watch this. I'm just going to skip down a little bit. Well, I'm just going to read it all. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Jerusalem, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and said, praise the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And when they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. Can you see this? God's people, and this praise, this word praise ye the Lord was Yada praise. So they're walking down, they're walking, saying, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Yada praise, their hands are raised. They think the people are surrendering. And they are surrendering, they're surrendering to God. And as they come down like this, they're saying, praise ye the Lord, for your mercy endures forever. All of a sudden, God mingles upon these people, and they start fighting each other, and they kill each other. God's people got to do nothing but just stand there. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know what mercy is? Deserving bad stuff, but God giving you good. How many here deserve some bad stuff? And God's going to give you good. So again, watch this. Watch this. I love it. When we praise, it moves God out front, it makes him big, and it moves us out of his way. When we praise God, it moves God out front, makes him big, and moves us out of God's way. Again, there it was. They began to sing into praise, and the Lord set ambushments. God took care of the battle for them. This morning, how many remember a mighty army this morning? Mighty army this morning. Here it is. I put it there. Mighty army. I wanted to put sometimes you have to, but I didn't have enough room, so I just made it short, sweet, and simple. Mighty army. Hit up, stay strong, smile by faith, move forward. That's what they did. Hit up. I don't have to hold my head down. I'm a child of God. Hold your head up. Stay strong. You might not think I'm strong, but God knows my strength. Stay strong. Sometimes it takes everything within me to smile. And I was looking at my mom on her deathbed, and she was needing to see me to smile at her and saying, tell me something, son, which meant was joke with me, cut up with me. She loved me to cut up with her. She said, talk to me, son, talk to me, which meant be strong. I'll be strong, but to smile, say something funny. And I look at her, and inside I wanted to cry, but on the outside, I'd even, you know, whatever. I give her old jokes. It didn't matter. I just do something, and she would smile, and I'd smile with her, and I'd turn my head, wipe a tear, and just keep on looking at her, smiling, and keep on saying things. I was at the hospital the other day talking with somebody, and of course they were talking about how bad things were, and the more I saw what was going on, the worse it got, and it hurt me so bad. But to them, I just smiled and said, God's got this. God's got it. And I walked out. I was washing my hands, and I was walking out to the hospital, and I said, oh, God, thank you, God, that you're so powerful, that we can trust you in the middle of all this. We don't have to give in to despair, because, Lord, if I had to go through this, I can tell you I would not be a happy camper right now. Thank you, God. Thank you. Going to prison on Thursdays. Now, they've kind of changed my roles around, and so now while I do counseling, also they have special books that people ask for, and I'll go through and I'll give them these special books. But what I do is I don't just go into D block and just give this one guy his stuff. I fill up a cart, and when I go into D block, I give everybody something. Because those guys, they're in there. They don't want to see you give a book to one guy and nobody else gets one, so I give some to everybody. I go into F block. And instead of just giving that one book out, matter of fact, I went into F block. The guy said, I walked up to F block and I had this big old cart full of stuff, especially brand new daily breads. And the guard looked at me and said, man, that's quick. I said, what do you mean? He said, the other guy said he was praying for God to send him a fresh daily bread. So I walked in and said, here they are, fresh out the oven. And they said, man, that was a fast answer to prayer. I said, there's two people you can thank for this. They were thanking me. I said, don't thank me. There's two people you can thank for it. They said, who? I said, thank God, number one. And number two, thank 217 up there. Because I was coming back here to give him a book that he asked for, and all of y'all got blessed because of it. I said, if y'all got any extra bubble gum or whatever, you need to give it to 217. They said, we will. I said, I mean it. God is watching. Hit up. Y'all say it with me. Hit up. Stay strong. Smile by faith. Move forward. One more time. Head up, stay strong, smile by faith, move forward. Wow. Here's what happens. Look, DC, come on up here, buddy. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Psalm 145:3. One more, y'all say this with me. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Wow. God is awesome. God is awesome. We're in the short rows now, church. We're very much in the short rows. If there's ever been a time to get serious with God, it's now. If there's ever been a time to get on the move with God, it's now. If there's ever been a time to be serious with God, it's now. I sit back and I keep hearing that man sitting next to me on that plane built this magnificent facility. It was gorgeous. It looked like it was twice the size of this church. Magnificent. And he said, I'm going back. I'm finishing up some of the rooms. And I'm giving the keys to them. He said, they don't want to hear it anymore. He said, so I'm tired of trying. I quit. That has awakened me out of sleep a couple of times. That big, beautiful church that he says is empty, not only of people, but of God's presence. And he says, I just want out. I'm going to build it, and I'm leaving. I just want out. Wow. Today is a day to reconsecrate yourself to God. To watch Him move, to watch Him do, to watch Him do what He does best. And that is restore lives, to lift up strength. Everybody stand. I'm not going to have a long altar call. Here's what it's going to be. If you're here today and you need something from God, the altars are open. If you're here today and you want to reconsecrate your life to God and get serious, the altars are open. I'm going to say a prayer and we're going to repeat it, and then the altars are going to be open. Y'all repeat after me. God, the time is short. You said for us to redeem the hour, to take back what has been stolen. We can't do it if we're not all in it. We give ourselves to you right now. We're going to redeem the time. We're going to make good of what's left. We're going to bring them in with your help. Satan, you got a fight on your hands. But the battle's not ours. It's yours, God. We're going to go in behind you and take it back. We're going to be strong. Our heads up. Our shoulders back. Smile by faith and move forward. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, everybody, we'll come on to the altar. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. The Bible says in Psalm 90 to teach us to number our days. What it's talking about is know that we ain't got so much time. Some of us got more time than others. Nobody really knows what day you're going to cease to be here and be before God. But just know there's coming that day. And so it's good to go ahead now. Get serious with God. Take care of business. Amen. Get serious with God. Take care of business. Tuesday nights, we're going to talk about it. You say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Come Tuesday night, we'll find out. Amen. We're going to talk about how God, that's all we're going to talk about, is our purpose in God. Come on. God's got something for you. Somebody say God's got it. But you got to take it. Amen. Amen. You know, it aggravated me one day when I was sitting at the table and I was trying to be polite. And the lady said, would you like this last pork chop? I was trying to be polite and I said, nah. My belly was gurgling and that pork chop looked good. She was such a good cook. She said, would you like this other pork chop, Pastor? I said, no. Trying to be polite. She says, you sure? I said, I'm positive. She said, absolutely sure. I said, I'm absolutely positive. She said, okay, here, Fido. He took it. If I knew she was going to give it to Fido, I'd have took it. Well, God's handing you stuff. Take it. It's here. Take it. Amen. Praise God. Dog. That's right. That's right. Yeah, dog got the pork chop. Amen. Ain't God good? All the time. Brother Frank, dismiss us in prayer, please.
Father God, we thank you for the word that's gone forth this day, Lord. And Lord, despite all the adversity of life, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord God. Now strengthen us, Lord God, for the journey ahead. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise, the glory, and honor for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.